From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts. Tonight, you just left for work and had a non-specific feeling that something was happening to your place and it wasn't good. Dan?
Exactly, Tammy. It could be smoke damage, theft, or just too much caffeine, but you can't stop thinking about it.
But with renter's insurance through GEICO, your stuff is covered, so you don't have to worry.
And that's great, because the weekend is coming up and it's chock full of social obligations that are ready to fill that void.
Oh boy, will they, Dan? It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Allison Curtis with you, Weekend Breakfast. Oh my God, Vicky has been so busy this morning.
It has been so busy.
You're my second guest live in studio this morning. It's been so busy. How are you?
Great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. Now, I've been watching all your clips of all your interviews and listened back to your one with my good pal, Mario Rosenstock.
Yes.
Kind of put to you an odd question.
He's a funny fish, is Mario Rosenstock. I love him. But do you know what? He's so different to every other interview I've done. So I actually really enjoyed it. Like, he was asking me about the cost of books.
And, yeah.
And what's the most popular type of book?
And you explained book talk to him as well.
Yeah, I did explain book talk to him. But no, we had the absolute crack.
You can listen back to that on Go Loud with Mario's podcast as well. So you are, of course, a podcaster, a writer, a broadcaster, everything. And also congratulations in the Indo yesterday, Operation Renovation. And it was a lovely spread on your house.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
We've just moved in. We're only there about a month now.
Really?
After a 3-month full gut reno.
Okay.
So I'm very proud of it and was delighted to share the photos. And my poor husband got dragged into them as well.
I know. There was one where it's like, is he comfortable?
Is he being held hostage?
Do you know what I'm going to say though? Where we do differ, it was interesting reading it, and we'll get on to the book in a second, is that I am a minimalist.
Are you?
Oh, Vicky, I swear, when we moved back into ours, I was like, everybody, listen up, you can bring one bowl and one sweater.
Stop
and that's it.
No.
And I think maybe sometimes people think the house is plain. Yours is gorgeous, but I went for like literally everything is white, oak or black. That's it.
Well, that sounds gorgeous. But like, no, for me, I do love a bit of clutter. I love a bit of, you know, tchotchkes, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, I love a bit of kitsch. But like we said to ourselves when we bought our first house, Joe was like, I just always want to have too much cutlery. So our, you know, we have too many glasses, too many plates, too
that's
much
fair
cutlery.
Enough.
But and it's for just the two of us as well. There's only us and the dog.
Yeah.
But no, I'm a maximalist, absolutely.
Oh no, I don't know what it is. But that's the one line I was like, we agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm gonna say about Vicky. So tell me about Anywhere But Here. Third book.
Third novel, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And just tell us about it. And it's very much about female friendships and certain age in women's lives
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so I found myself being kind of preoccupied by this idea that around the age of 40 in Ireland at the moment, women kind of have more choice and more freedom than we've ever had before. And that obviously comes with its own issues. But I mean, I grew up in an Ireland where you were kind of expected to do certain things in society that you're not anymore.
Mm.
So it's a book about three women who all find themselves at sort of a crossroads, I guess. And they're all kind of keeping it from one another as well, because they don't want to badmouth, you know, the men or in their lives or their children or, you know, their
yeah.
careers even. They don't want to...
Or maybe
kind of,
admit there's a problem.
Exactly, because even with our closest friends, you know, we don't want them to know a lot of the time that there's anything wrong. So they all have a sort of personal reckoning of their own.
Right.
And they decide to flee to County Donegal to try and escape their problems. But unfortunately, we can't escape our problems. They tend to follow us wherever we go.
Exactly. And then they have to confront very uncomfortable truths.
Yes. It's all about kind of identity and how we see ourselves and how we kind of present ourselves to the world, because it's not just about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and the people that we actually know anymore. It's about kind of comparing ourselves to every Tom, Dick and Harry on the internet.
Absolutely. And actually, Vicky, that's something that I thought of literally before I knew you were coming on the show. I was like, why do I feel kind of genuinely sometimes bad about
yourself,
my appearance, my house, my cooking?
I know.
It's because I'm on Instagram all
it's
the time.
It's crazy. And like, I can feel sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I'm having a scroll, I can feel the happiness being leached from my body.
Definitely.
You know, you just end up inevitably, even though we know it's a highlight reel, even though we know we're only being presented with 10% of the story.
Yeah, exactly.
It still can make you feel bad about yourself.
It has an impact.
And just the desire to share all the time. I don't know where that comes from. You know, I've always, as a writer, I've always wanted to share, I guess, in some ways. But not necessarily, you know, my face every day of my life.
I know.
And you have to feed the beast, you have to feed the algorithm. And
of course you do.
Keep giving it more of your life. So I'm just kind of fascinated by all of that. And I think a theme in my writing as well has been this kind of like public scandal.
Yes.
And how people
cope
in the public
that.
Eye can cope with that. And even we know ourselves from even local scandals, they can make you feel like you never want to leave your house again. So how do people with jobs in the public eye cope when they have a personal scandal?
Well, that's the basis of the story. Matilda McGrath and her husband and their relationship breaking down, and it's Sadie and Jess who are two closest friends.
Yeah.
And why did you choose Donegal, which I obviously absolutely adore, as the basis of the book?
I just adore it. If I went to myself, I want to be anywhere but here, that's where I'd go.
Yeah.
Yeah, either Donegal or Kerry. And I'd already written about Kerry in my first novel, Reality Check. So Donegal, I spent my teenage years going up there quite a lot.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose family is from Ardra, and she used to bring us up there as teenagers and go to the local disco. And I remember...
Ardra's a great town.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Nancy's Bar and watching McCollum's chip
so
truck.
So we definitely know someone in common then.
Because oh, really?
We did a broadcast from up there last year with My Town. And yeah, friends of ours, they own Nancy's Bar.
No way! Oh, what a beautiful bar. I absolutely love it.
It's amazing.
Like a moment in time captured almost. It's fab.
Definitely.
So yeah, I just love Donegal. And we went up, my husband and I, and my friend Julie recommended a place for me to stay. She said, this is the kind of place these women would go.
And that's
go.
Where you were writing.
And that's, well, no, this is when I was kind of brainstorming. I wanted to go and research and experience what they'd experience. And I just, yeah, fell in love with it even more. And Joe had never been before. So it was whole new falling in love for him.
And Vicky, the thing is, and we talk about this a lot, and like Lucy Kennedy was on not that long ago on the show as well. Everyone kind of feels like they have a book in them and thinks that they can do it. And like, I mean, Cecilia Hearn has a huge career and she's been on the show loads as well. And what is it about just, how do you, and I know that was your background as well, but you get to sit down to it and actually do it, like sit down and do it, advice.
Yeah, for me it was, you know, I was presented with an opportunity to pitch to Penguin. You know, they were like, have you ever been interested in writing fiction? And it just so happened that they liked my idea. And then I kind of had, I was like, don't mess this up. You know, these opportunities are rare.
Penguin's big.
Penguin's big. You're being presented with this, do it, kind of, and do it to the best of your abilities. And then I just got the bug. I've always wanted to be an author. Always. I got into journalism because I wanted to write professionally and get paid for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's obviously changed a lot in the last couple of decades. But fiction was always my first love. So I'm just so thrilled to be doing it.
Well, you do it pretty well.
Thank you.
You do it very well. So the other things, like the big things are like female friendships. We talked about that as well. Another thing that I really liked, and we also talked about the pressure for women to have it all, but this idea of a midlife reinvention. And I think that, there, as you say, there is that time, there's crossroads in everybody's life. But I think the messaging has always been like, oh, you're too old to start doing that.
No.
But we've got to get rid of that.
The message of this book, I think, is you're not too old and it's not too late.
Yeah.
That's what I had echoing around in my mind as I wrote it, because as women, we place all these, you know, expectations on ourselves, even if society isn't, you know, forcing us to get married for fear of being a spinster or forcing us to do X, Y, and Z. You know, we
it's
do,
still there.
We have our own kind of issues and that we have to reckon with. And I think each woman in the book, like one of them's 37, one of them's 41. And the 41-year-old is dealing with like an empty nest because she had her children young.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, well, I have another baby. You know, I'm still, you know,
able to,
but should I? And, you know, she's looking at her marriage with fresh eyes and seeing it's kind of lacking. So I think these are all things, it's quite relatable. It's things that we all
absolutely
experience.
It is. Yeah. And it's amazing. Congratulations again. And Anywhere But Here. And before let you go now, you have to be honest, is it Mayo or Kerry? Who are you shouting for?
Mayo. I really want to see them do it, even though I adore Kerry, I adore Mayo as well, but yeah, the wait needs to end. Up Mayo.
The curse needs to go. Yeah. Vicky Notaro, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thank you.
Well, you were staring down desire.